Our study tonight is out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, the biblically consistent righteousness of Christ's subjects on building wealth. When Jesus said that one's righteousness had to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees if he were to be part of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 5:20, he had to clarify to his Hebrew listeners how that could be, for the Pharisees adhered to the principle of halakha in Hebrew, which was a concern for every jot and tittle of performance regarding the Mosaic law. Well, Matthew 5:21 to 7:6, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount, provides many illustrations of Jesus' point here, with Matthew 6:19 to 24 exampling how his kingdom righteousness on the subject of wealth far surpassed that of the Pharisees. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them in depth. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now the light of the body is the eye. If it therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is actually the Aramaic word. Remember Jesus at that day, he was speaking Aramaic. The Jews spoke Aramaic when they came back from Babylon. And the Aramaic word mammon, we're going to see in a little bit, refers to wealth or property. In other words, you can't serve wealth and property or God. You have to serve one or the other. Okay, what's going on here? Jesus' Matthew 6:19 to 24 message on building wealth corrected the view of the Pharisees who believed that the Lord materially blessed all that he loved, so that they were intent on building great treasures on earth towards affirming the idea that they were loved of God. So it was a common belief about the Jews in that day that if you're blessed, that goes along with righteousness. If you're not materially blessed, you're not that righteous. And they equated the two. Now, believe it or not, this view of the Pharisees is very similar to the wealth gospel that is making the rounds in evangelical circles. The wealth gospel's the belief that true spirituality automatically produces great wealth. That if you're suffering from poverty, that you're not righteous, that you're somehow sinning, or you're faithless or something. There are actually large groups of people who believe that. And they believe that if you're really a really righteous person, you'll become a millionaire and so forth. They actually teach this. I've seen televangelists on television. They've actually taught that. Well, contrary to this belief, Jesus explained that his kingdom subjects were not to store up or to gather or to save. The Greek word out of the Greek New Testament, which is the original testament, as you know, is thesaurizo, and it means to store up, to gather, or to save. They were not supposed to hoard for themselves treasures. Thesauros is the noun. They were not supposed to store treasures unto themselves upon the earth. That's the first part of verse 19. I believe this is also our theme verse, Matthew, yes, I think it is Matthew 6, 19 and 20 are the theme verse for the year that we have as a church. The reason the board selected this theme verse is because they were trying to encourage the congregation that even in this time of recession that we face, that our goal in life should not be finances and money and wealth. Our goal should be to serve the Lord with the resources that we have, whether it's money, whether it's health, whether it's time, whether it's talent. It makes no difference. All of it should be used to serve the Lord. Well, Jesus then gave several reasons for this admonition in Matthew 6, 19b to 24. First, laying up treasures on the earth is very risky, making it a foolish endeavor. For moths that destroy expensive clothing, rust that corrupts precious metals, and thieves that can break into a storehouse and steal every kind of wealth can cause one's accumulated wealth to disappear, disappointing the one who worked hard to gather it. You notice the last part of verse 19, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's very true. I was amazed. I think Microsoft, which is a large company on the New York Stock Exchange, when we had the recession dropped, I think it was 2009 when things really started to go under, 2008, 2009, they were losing the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars a day in the value of their stock. I was astounded. But it just shows the transitory nature of resources of the earth. So if a person builds his life around wealth, his whole hope was built around wealth, then when wealth disappears, he's crushed. So for this reason, Jesus said, one is better to build treasure up wealth in heaven beyond the depressing destruction of these agents. In verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. It's amazing if you look forward to the book of Revelation at the end, one of the latter chapters there that talks about the New Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that the streets or the street of heaven is paved with gold that is so pure, it's like a mirror. You can actually see yourself reflected in it. I can't imagine the value of that from a human perspective, from the earthly perspective. But in heaven, if they pave just the street with gold, one can hardly imagine what the dwellings are going to be like where we're going to be living. The gates of the city, each gate is a solid pearl. We don't have pearls that large here in the earth. But the gates are massive gates. You know, they're talking about the wall is 150 feet high or something like that. I can't imagine a pearl that size. But that's what heaven is based out of. And then you have 12 foundations. Each 12 foundation is 1,500 miles square. And those foundations are each a solid chunk of precious stone, chalcedony, emerald, jasper, and so forth, covering 1,500 square miles. The 1,500 miles is basically from here about to Dallas, Texas. Then you make a right angle, go up into Canada, another right angle, and come back. That's a huge area. So what we should be doing is laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And of course, the treasures that God's talking about are rewards that he's going to give to his people in appreciation and in recognition for what they've done in obeying him. Second, the place where one stores his treasure is where his heart will also be. Notice verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God is in heaven, so laying up treasures on the earth leads to the shifting of one's heart away from submission to God in heaven to submission to treasures on the earth. And that leads to errant living only for this life. A farmer I knew in Nebraska when I was pastoring there a number of years ago shared with me that during the Great Depression in the Midwest, if you wanted to eat food, you had to raise it. You know, that's the way things were. And he said the churches were packed during the Great Depression because nobody really had a job. You couldn't go anywhere. And people were very interested in things of God because all you had was God. And so people flooded the churches and flocked to the churches, and they ministered, many people were ministered to it during that particular time. It was an amazing time. Now, third, making the collection of material wealth one's goal in life indicates a lack of true righteousness, for it exposes the sin of greed that is countered in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 of Scripture. Remember, Exodus 20, 17 says, thou shalt not covet. And when a person goes after the accumulation of wealth as his goal in life, he's actually violating that command of coveting because he's coveting these things and he wants them for himself. First of all, Jesus revealed that the things one desires with his eyes affects his entire person. And that's the meaning of the eyes being the lamp of the entire body in verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. The implication is if you properly use your eyes in not coveting something unrighteously, the whole person will be full of the light of God's righteousness. However, if what we desire with our eyes is evil, in that we covet things for material gain, we coveting through the eyes, it leaves our entire person corrupted with the spiritual darkness of sin. Verse 23, but if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And remember, this is all in the context of covetousness and material gain. We just cannot make the things of this earth and the accumulation of the things of this earth our main goal in life, because if we do, it distorts our relationship with God, and we actually sin because we're involved in covetousness. Now, fourth, money. So the Pharisees, let me read this. The Pharisees were slaves to the master of greed with their eyes, so they were failing in their service to their true master, who was God in their entire persons. And fourth, money is therefore a master that competes against God as one's master. So one cannot store up wealth as his goal in life and still serve God in heaven as his master. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Wealth as a goal in life affects one's desire and devotion opposite the Father who is in heaven. And so we can't hold to money and wealth and God at the same time. Wealth and God are therefore competing masters. One cannot serve mammon, and the Aramaic word, remember, here is used by Jesus, was the Aramaic word for wealth or property. We cannot serve wealth and property in God. The Pharisees had to repent of storing up wealth as an end in itself if they would please God and serve God as their master. Now, I know at this point the question comes up, well, does this mean that we should not work for a living? No. In fact, that's what we're going to deal with. The next section, Jesus deals with the practical need of earning wealth or earning money in order to make a living. We have to do that. What he's talking about in verses 19 and 24 is the hoarding of wealth, becoming a miser, where wealth becomes an end in itself just for the accumulation of wealth. It's something that is sin. So we must not make earthly wealth our life's goal, for it can be destroyed by things of this earth. It lures our heart away from God, it reflects the sin of greed, and it directs us away from serving the Lord. So may we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven versus laying up treasures on the earth. When I graduated from high school, we had to take a test. This is many years ago. We had to take a test for the state of California where I had graduated from high school, and we took aptitude tests, and little did I know that the state of California was paying very close attention to how students did on the particular test because they were looking to hire students for government positions. And I happened to score very well in the area of computers. Computers were just beginning to come in. And so an official from Sacramento came up to the high school where I was at in Durham, California, which is Northern California, and he talked to me and he said, we would like to hire you right out of high school, and we'll pay you, I forget what the amount it was $17,000 salary a year. Well, in 1966, that was a lot of money for a teenager, you know, in high school. And when I told him, no, I'm going to go to Bible college, he about dropped his teeth. What? You know, in their mind, it's basically throwing your life away. But I said, no, I want to serve the Lord that way. And what the Lord has done is use that particular aptitude in regards to preparing sermons and doing research. As I look back on that decision now, I am so grateful that I didn't go that other route. Because let's say I had stayed with that, and let's say I had earned a lot of money. At this particular point in my life, all I would have is money. That's it. Nothing for God. And as I'm beginning to look at eternity, I am much more grateful that the Lord had directed me under the teaching of pastors and my parents who were missionaries in Africa and so forth to go the route of obeying God and putting Him first. Now, it's true, we need resources. I'd be the first one to admit that, you know, where would we be if it hadn't been for the church's support all these years? But making money our main goal in life is actually a very foolish selection, a very foolish choice. Because when we leave this life, all of the money stays. We don't take any with us. It all stays. In fact, in the coffin, all we can do is wear one pair of clothing. If we have several suits, we can only wear one at a time. And we don't take that with us. Of course, in the resurrection, we won't need that. So there's a tremendous need for us, even in a time, especially in a time like this of a great recession where we're facing. I sometimes wonder if the Lord isn't working to get His people to get their eyes off of money itself as a goal and get our eyes back on Him and on eternity. I'm looking ahead a little bit, but in verse 33 of chapter 6, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. These things are the things that we shall eat and drink and be clothed with. all these things shall be added unto you. If we make our priority the kingdom of heaven, God will take care of these things. So may God help us to have the proper attitude and a balanced attitude towards wealth. Now, having said that, I don't want to say that being wealthy is wrong. Sometimes people come into wealth. Sometimes wealth happens. Sometimes inheritance happens. Sometimes things go very well in business and wealth accumulates. Paul directed Christians in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to use that wealth wisely for the Lord. Think of it, invest in it for the Lord and for the Lord's work. There are oodles of missionaries who are in great need, worthy people who are in great need of being supported. There are many works of God that are worthy works that can be helped out. We can invest some of it there. But it's not wrong if we happen to be wealthy. The problem comes when we make becoming wealthy our goal. That's wrong, and God doesn't want us to make that our goal in life.